Blog Talk Radio. What happens in all the courts that when the case is filed and the fees are paid or pro per, which means that they file the paupers, they don't have the money like prisoners, they don't have money, and the court grants them a fee waiver status, the clerk stamps the brief and it goes through the matrons, the keepers, who look at it and whatever judge is supposed to be by a lot of, you know, really accurate how some of these cases, and I could have a case that I'm familiar with, where no court was in the 7th Circuit in Chicago County, also here in the 9th Circuit, but based investigation, legal research, judges, law firm, and also the legal research at Quest Committee for the U.S. Navy Sailor Canary case started in 1997. Anyway, what does the district attorney and the clerks in the case see as jurisdiction and subject matter, the two requirements of the case heard in any court, whether a state court or a federal court. Then the case goes to the who goes through it and makes conditions based on the law that's quote and law that is relevant, law that is in effect. Then it goes to the judge. Only one judge in my memory, every brief came into his court, into the court, and the Supreme Court. The federal court judges all across the country saying they're overloaded with the case, maybe more judges. New judges to the point, especially in the Ninth Circuit, which is the most busy in the business circuit. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has over 10,000 cases filed to go through, and they only work on about 100, unless there's a case of national importance. The only thing I can remember was that the paper that the government that, that came before right away as soon as the person the things went up during when the time published accusation of what had been going on in Vietnam, and they would call Kennedy first and try to suppress him, and I think Joska probably he's still on the bench, but he will that the right to the papers to the case one of the Supreme Court. There are other cases if somebody's going to be accused, and there are lawyers, even the plaintiff in the case, but then in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court to call the execution being more investigative of the case. Now, what happens in this type of case is that the Supreme Court, the Court of Justice, for that district, said that, and then he can rule on it, or he can rule on it, or the entire court can look at it because maybe issues that are applicable to the entire federal system. And what the U.S. Supreme Court is among all circuits, the circuit is always going out on the one, and the main one right now is Proposition 8, which was the vote of the day, California agreed to ban gay marriage, and the opponent of the marriage to him in San Francisco was the attorney's office, decided to fight that, and of course there were various groups James Hornell and other free homosexual advocates have been reaching for two things: that the permit the publication of the proponents to ban gay marriage to publicize the name, and they proposed people who would be able to take those courses. Well, the stuff that I'm secret agenda have harassed people who are opposed to gay marriage, teaching kids to be gay and that sort of thing. So that case right now is pending before what is called en banc, not en banc, but a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Federal Appellate Court, the second level. The third level will be the U.S. Supreme Court, which case, that case will probably go by whoever loses will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court to decide on the merits, and what they decide will apply to the entire federal circuits and the court should get a point of the judges, but he failed to bring up, or maybe he didn't understand, that a lot of courts, such as the Steve Merritt, defy federal regulations, federal law, federal U.S. decisions, which are binding everyone on their own. It's the law, and only the U.S. Supreme Court can overrule itself. What it's done in such a case, a civil rights case, specific example of that separate but equal, where the U.S. Supreme Court back after the American Civil War, where it decided that, I think it was Bush versus Ferguson, back to the could be a surgery. They had that cool type situation, but they could be segregated. That was a rule in Brown versus Ferguson, where there is no more segregation and it'd be quality of everybody. Earl was governor of California and was admitted chief justice of the United States, which was more than chief 53, I think. But this is what goes that people do not understand the media, do not publicize judges unless the judges want to be various stakeholders. So in some cases, a recent one in San Francisco where a lesbian was appointed to the California State Court by a former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. This woman, Angela Bradbury, who was very controversial, she was a solicitor in England. And a solicitor is a legal researcher and investigator, but as a person who does not try a case, a prepare a case for a barrister. That's what she did. She came from England. She was solicited then to, I think it was quickly, become a California lawyer. Now, she's a lesbian activist who badgered and bullied the entire legal community of California to defund the American Boy Scout because the Boy Scout banned open homosexuality in their ranks of all lawsuits and the creditors who came as scout masters and said, cut out the Boy Scout. Now, the controversy she was involved was probably the biggest burglary in California where San Francisco police uncovered a burglary. Two people were operating a burglary ring, and they uncovered 8 loads of burglarized items. The woman was prosecuted, but couldn't find the owners of the burglarized items. So Angela Burstein decided that the people who had stolen all the items, the 8 truckloads that property, taken the police department for the facility, had to be given back to the people who stole them. And there's outrage in the police department about this. Among the other things that this woman is involved in was she was the co-recipient of what is thought to be the biggest known bribe of a judge in U.S. history. We'll get into that on our Steve Neri case. In fact, it's on there. If you go to Steve Neri, the chronology of the case at amicusbritas.org, AmicusBritas.org. It's documented with the real estate documents. But this is one of the problems. Now, this issue, they need to be more focused on by the media and by the Congress on both state and federal issues because nobody knows what's really going on because the media, both court and the attorney media, do not publicize what goes on in the courts or who's appointed to the courts or how these people are selected, who vets, and how they get to where they're at. And you never hear about a lot of these judges, whether it's probate whether it's criminal, whether it's civil, and we hear about them when there's a controversial case like today. Barry Bonds was given 2 years of probation, and there's outrage about that among some people. And it's the federal judge, Susan Illiston. So, you know, but most people don't know who she was. They don't know who most of the judges are. And if you ask them to name who's sitting on the Ninth Circuit Federal District Court, they couldn't tell you. And why should they? Because they don't know, and it's not publicized and needs to be. But Gingrich has a point there, but this business of hauling judges before Congress to explain their decisions, no. And maybe there ought to be term limits for judges. That's something that needs to be discussed. And, of course, I think it was Rick Perry, or one of them at the Fox TV Republican debate last night, said there ought to be term limits for Congress people. You know, two terms, that's it. Move on. And part-time, but that's another issue. Now, another issue that's come up, which is related to this, related to the Mary case, and other case where military person might have been preyed upon by a social activist who spied on them with video cameras when they're in their showers, locker rooms, medical examination rooms, swimming, sleeping in the pool, and military facilities. And it's not only Americans who American military have been videoed, it has been other Canadians with and some other, of course, solutions. It can be very popular. What's going on? But what relevant is what we know from history, going back over 100 years, is homosexual treachery in Yalta by these military personnel, ranging from Colonel Rail of the military intelligence, selling Austrian military secrets to the Russians. He later was forced to commit suicide. We come up to World War II, and Burgess and McLean, two British communists who were working in the Foreign Office and also in the Spanish Civil War in World War II, they were part of a major Soviet spy ring, the homosexuals, stealing and selling military secrets to both the British and American nuclear programs to the Russians. And they fled ahead when they were about to be apprehended. They fled to Russia and also Philby. They took him to Philby. Some dispute whether he was bisexual or homosexual. I don't know. That was one aspect in that of the atomic bombs. Then another British Captain Vassal, naval British Navy, who was homosexual, was seeing secrets to the Soviets. He got prosecuted. I don't know where he's at. He's still living. There was a case in the captain in the Dreyfus case, French military case, over 100 years ago, where Eszterházy, a captain in the French army, was Hungarian descent. Nobody knows how he got into the French army. He was selling military to the Germans after the French Prussian War, and he set up for Dreyfus as a thief, and Dreyfus was created in French military and convicted of false evidence and shipped to Vienna for 9 years. And famous is also a case in Warmbys and other military martial case or military railroading of innocent military person. And then, of course, we come to the Anthony, who mother's British, father's an American, and was a private arm. And he was homosexual. He was a homosexual activist, and he spat with his lover. And then, for some reason, he decided he had access to a lot of classification. And he was given it to Wilkes and other places and put to risk. We've had other heterosexuals who also stole military secrets. We have the notorious Walker family. Everybody in the military all were in the Navy, including the best friend of John Walker. He got $100,000. He did millions worth of damage to the Navy's intelligence seats and communication system. And of course, his son was on the USS Enterprise, and he was taking classified information that was on paper and putting it in the gummy sacks, and he was caught. and I think he was sentenced to 8 years. He's out now. But this is what's going on, and Joel is veteran. He was media officer. He recruited him, and all these people, like Walker, there's a lot of people upon these people who weren't executed. He'd been in the Russian military service, he would have gotten them in the back of the head. That's how the Russians deal with traitors. And the most famous case was a guy who worked for Americans during the 70 years. And he's some secrets to the Americans and the British. He got by the KGB. Now, these issues, now, personally, the traitors, people who the country should pay the adult price of capital punishment. Now there's another case of a, forgot his name, but he had a lover and he was selling secrets to the Cubans, and he's in a federal prison with life, for life. I don't think he'd be pardoned. And then the case of an Israeli American, who a Navy code clerk, was selling secrets to the Israelis, and he was in federal prison, and he's the that he freed and be allowed to get Israel. So, espionage and traitors, elemental clerics, we seem to have quite a few homosexuals who seem to be involved in training who uniformly work and who secretly be treated with. So, this is the issue we've got to face. Now, we're looking at a book on how to which one of the tabs to protect yourself from sexual predators and what parents should know about how to protect the kids. And we'll be broadening. Unfortunately, today I didn't get the archival version of Beethoven's Ninth. We'll have that on Monday. Also, we'll be giving you tips on, since the post office is cutting back services again, since we did do some of the work on the federal courthouse, we'll be giving you tips on some of the things you ought to know so that your mail gets there when it absolutely positively has to get there on time. So you're especially sending checks to pay your credit bills or your rent so that you don't get hit with late fees. So, and of course, the monthly relevant birthday today, we have, great Hungarian composer, since we're talking about Hungarians, Zoltán Kodály. An famous French marshal who was involved in the military revolt in Algeria, Alphonse Juin, D-Y-N, and of course caught by Balthazar. He was born today. Who said that history, we get about history. George Gianna was born today, with a slight cold. And then we had the guy who founded Argentina. Long name. His name is, can't even remember. The captain of the first he was in today. Of course, it's Beethoven today. And it'll related summer on Monday, this recording. Then also we have, a 3D configuration. Harlem Singer's birthday today, 1890. Also, Veterans Day. And Margaret Mead was born today, growing up in Sonoma. She was an anthropologist, controversial. Arthur Clarke, who wrote about all the space stuff, born today. And then if you watch 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl, that blonde, she was born in 1941. And then since the eBay has come up, very controversial, Carol Browner, she was born in 1955. Among the people who died, was Richard Bright to discover Bright's disease. We had John Miller, a great dance band, and I think played trombone. He was killed in a plane crash in Europe when we're going to play some of the soldiers over there to D-Day. Also today, we had of course Harlan Sider. And was infamous the mafia chief of the coast, Paul Costello, was murdered in the restaurant. It was in 1905. There's a movie about him. And among the events, I have six, and we're told this is about the means, according to the throne of France. Henry VI was crowned king of France in the 19th century. Argentina was founded by this guy, Fernando Alvarez de Saavedra. And of course, Oliver Cromwell declared himself Lord Protector of England after he chopped off Charles I's head. And what he did in England, they still haven't forgiven him. And then the British Parliament had the first Bill of Rights for their citizens. And then they had no charter. So we did that. We did that. And of course, I keep joking about one of my answers that maybe all the Republican candidates just sit down and hand hope the wind makes the pot.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Well, as a lot of people feel, I've met some of the candidates out there trying to meet everybody in Iowa, and I think that's true. Anyway, we'll be back in the 4 o'clock, and we'll be talking about what we've seen with Peter. We'll have a week.